Hello, this is Gaming Perspectives with Saul and Jolene. It's just me, Jolene, right now. We are going to DunderCon this weekend, President's Day weekend, February 2019. And Saul did a couple interviews with some GMs that are going to be there. David Jones is the first one. And then Shannon McNamara and Ezra Denny. So enjoy, listen to them, and hopefully we'll see you at DunderCon. Hello, this is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
And Ezra.
And Ezra. Today we have Ezra. We're doing the interviews for upcoming DungeonCon. They're actually letting us record there, but they don't know what they're getting into. But we're going to be
Is there an adult content warning? Is there?
No, we are G-rated. So unfortunately, you can't cuss or I'll just bleep you. And
I actually don't swear.
Yes, I never heard you swear.
I could drop a hammer on my toe and I'd say, ow.
Oh, you're such a good boy.
I'm not that good.
So we're just going to ask you some questions, but first, give us a little bit information about who you are, Ezra.
Sure. My name's Ezra Denny. I've been GMing off and on for a really long time. Our buddy Gil, who I don't know, is Gil going to do one of these?
He hasn't gotten back to me, so.
Yeah, he's super busy.
Yeah, he is a super busy guy.
Our buddy Gil did a thing, I think last year, where he went through and he looked for where everybody's first DunderCon, where they first ran a game was. And mine was 1986.
Wow. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I ran my first DunderCon game when I was a sophomore in high school.
So it wasn't that long ago.
That's right. Good save. But it was terrible. It was a first edition D&D game called Return to the Castle of No Return. And it was very on brand for me. It was just a collection of like bad jokes.
Yes.
I remember one player was very frustrated because it did not feel to him like a D&D game.
Yes, a lot of people have that I just want to play D&D, you know.
No fun involved.
No.
Shockingly, he was the guy who brought his own character.
Oh.
Really?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, you know, I took a lot of years off and then I started going back to DunderCon a while ago, and now it's my favorite con, partly because it has that history with me. It's sort of it was my first gaming convention, and it honestly, for both good and ill, hasn't changed that much since it was my first gaming convention.
Right.
And it's also, I think I get great players. And it's where all the good, you know, I see all my friends. It's really just a great experience every year.
Yeah, we kind of encountered that too when we go. It's like we see people that we just don't see because they live either far away, like LA or something.
Yeah.
But we've grown to be friends because we go to conventions, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so, I mean, social media has made a big difference there too, where, you know, you have a friend who you sort of see online and you keep that connection with, but then you'll see them in person and it reinforces that and makes it stronger. Or even, you know, guys like Matt Steele who live a little ways away, and so I don't see him that often, especially now, sadly, that Endgame's gone. And
right.
So DunderCon is a great chance to see people like that.
That's true. Yeah, definitely.
So what games do you run at DunderCon?
So I almost always run a Cthulhu game, and then I usually will run a Paranoia game as well. The Paranoia game, you know, I can run Paranoia in my sleep. The Cthulhu game takes a little more work, but I love the system. Call of Cthulhu is really, for me, it's less about the system and everybody, it just makes sense. So you don't have to explain the rules a lot. People can just dive in. It's sort of a lingua franca of RPGs.
My friend Kathy played in one of your Paranoia games and she loved it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I have a good time. I think Paranoia is a sneaky good role-playing experience and also a sneaky good story game.
Right. I attest to that because I played in your game. I think it was at Big Bad Con.
Yeah, where, that's right. That's right. You were the Def Leppard guy who was blowing everything up and setting it all on fire.
Which, you know, is perfect, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like blowing stuff up? And it was just phenomenal the way you know, that type of game, I think, takes a lot of, improvisational skills. And in bad hands, a paranoia game can be really like a struggle. You know, it can be really boring. But I was laughing. Everybody else was laughing. It was the highlight of my Big Bad Con that weekend.
Well, that's good. It's very kind to hear. But I've been really excited. Last year, there were almost as many paranoia games being run at DunderCon as there were Call of Cthulhu games. That's amazing. Yeah. I've actually tried to connect with them. We did a thing a couple of years ago at Endgame where we ran six paranoia games. So like every paranoia game you could think of. And so I try and connect with them. And there's a ton of great paranoia games out there being run. And I think it's a great, you know, it's a system where you don't need to know the rules. In fact, knowing the rules is actually treasonous. So, you know, it's great for new players. It's hilarious. And sort of the thing I have a whole, I'm not going to get into it, but I have a whole spiel about how Paranoia, which came out in the 80s, was the first story game. And it's, you know, the short version of it is that Paranoia, when it first came out, D&D was the big game. And D&D is all about, this is my character. You can't do anything to my character. And right. Paranoia is all about, you've got six clones, push that button, see what happens. Yes. You know, and that really, it's a totally different experience and a very sort of a lot freer experience than D&D.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, it was mind-blowing.
It's liberating, right? Because you don't have to worry about your character dying. And, you know, how I cried when my brother killed off my first character, right? I was 11 years old, right? And the bastard gave me the finger of death or something like that. But you're right. Paranoia, you know, it says you have six clones. Just
you
they
might
die.
As well have fun.
Yeah, yeah, and it's freeing as a GM too, because less so in a con game, but like in a campaign game, killing a character is fraught with like you've spent months or years building up these relationships, and so a character death needs to have some weight to it. It needs to have some kind of thing to it, and that doesn't always, you know, the dramatic sense of that kind of sometimes competes with the mechanic sense of that in games like that. And in Paranoia, you're just like, you'll be back in 5 minutes.
Exactly. So other than Paranoia and Call of Cthulhu, do you play other games, you know, or obviously you do?
Well, I hate to admit this, but I actually don't really like playing in games. I don't think I'm a very good player at tables. And so a few years ago, I make a very rare exceptions, but I think that I'm really one note. I'm almost always comic relief, and the games that I like to play in don't always comic relief isn't always welcome. And so, that's why I GM as much as I can. I'll run two or three games at a con because that's what I'd rather do is run. And I think that, sort of knowing that has definitely made me enjoy cons more and making that decision. So I at DunderCon, for example, I'll play board games. I'm going to run a board game there, which, by the way, is the biggest racket. Like, for anybody who's listening to this, run board games at conventions. It is the easiest free convention you will ever get, because you teach the board game, you play the board game, and if you run three board games, you know, you're in the con for free, and you get a priority slip. It's ridiculous. I don't know why everybody doesn't do it. I tell everybody in my board game group that they should, you know, just go and run two board games. Now, it's getting a little ridiculous. I saw somebody listed in the DunderCon book, they're running Seven Wonders, which is even with seven players, is an hour board game time. Right. Like, the whole point of Seven Wonders is that it's fast. And he listed it as a four-hour game.
Maybe he's playing it four times.
Well, okay, maybe. Or maybe he's just trying to get a free entrance. And, you know, more power to him, you know. Yeah. No shade or anything like that. But that's what I'm saying, is that like running board games at conventions is just the biggest scam. It's the best way to get in conventions free.
I totally agree. I've been trying to convince Jolene to run board games because she loves board games.
Yeah, and you guys play.
Yeah, we play a ton of board games.
Yeah, save yourself the $50 or whatever it is. Don't listen to this DungeonCon wherever you are, you know. But yes. I mean, it's amazing to me that more people don't do it.
Yeah, yeah, and instead, you know, we run role playing games.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to spend
hours of stress.
Right, I'm going to spend a ton of hours working on this dang Cthulhu game, and then I'm going to show up to run Endeavor in like, you know, 5 minutes.
Well, I've showed up at board games at DungeonCon where people are running them, and they're like, "Oh, you're the only person. Well, if we don't get anybody, then I don't think I'll run the game." And I'm like, going, "Okay, let me go find some people."
You're not getting off that easy.
But that's an interesting thing. Like, it's surprising to me that the board games do have a lot of no-shows. That is one thing, and I have to admit that room is pretty awful.
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty loud.
It gets super loud, and like by Sunday of the con, if I have been spending a lot of time in that room, I need a throat lozenge like nobody's business.
That's it. Yeah. I think any convention's like that. I mean, there's so much. You're talking. You're not hydrated.
Yeah.
You definitely have to get to take care of yourself at any con.
So when was your first DungeonCon, Saul?
Well, I think it was 1991.
Yeah.
But it could have been earlier, but I don't think so. It was 1991. My brother had gone to it the year before with another friend of ours, and he came back, you know, glowing about raving about DungeonCon. We used to go to PacificCon, but we never played games because they remember. I don't know if you know about PacificCon, but they used to charge.
Was that when it was at the Dunphy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was my first con, and that was back in 1983 or 82 or 83. I was a sophomore in high school, and I went as security, right? Because they not only let you into the con, but if you worked like some like 12, 14 hours, you know, during the whole weekend, they gave you a room. So like, wow. Right. They gave you a room to share with four other people. So it was me, my brother, and two strangers. But hey, I'm like, hey, you know, we were poor kids. So it was like, we definitely, you know, want to go to a convention and check it out. But they used to charge you per game, like $1 or $2. And then it was a hassle if the game didn't work or nobody showed up. You'd have to get
a refund. So it was sort of the Gen Con model of buying tickets and that sort of thing.
Right. So I went to I went to DungeonCon, and it was like free. You just sign up for games. And like the first, I would say first 5 years, I got into every game I wanted. I mean, you know, it was crowded, but it wasn't like super crowded. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And
so that was
1991. And you'd end up like, back in those days, you'd end up like, when I would go to DungeonCon, you'd end up with like crazy GMs that you would never expect. Like I showed up 1 year and there was Ken Ralston was running Paranoia.
That's cool.
It was amazing. And
that was back when you played then, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, I played. Yeah, back then, when I was in high school, I mainly played, but I ran so I could get in for free. That first year, my brother and I went. We lived in the city, and we didn't have a hotel room, so we showed up with like bags of food that we just left in one of the open gaming rooms, and like two bags of like game books and stuff like that, right. And we just slept in the anime room,
right. Right. In the yes. And, you know, and basically, you know, the games, some games go pretty late. So if you go in there as they're closing, I mean, there's nobody going to check the room, what's going on. So, I mean, I've always thought about like sleep, you know, when I was much younger, I don't want to pay for a room. I could just sleep in one of these open gaming rooms.
It might be different now.
Yeah, now. But back then it was.
Back then it was the Wild West back then.
Yes.
It was crazy.
Like, they let a 15-year-old kid just run around and not have any supervision for 3 days in a row.
And your parents, too, then, right? Let you go.
Oh, yeah. My parents, you know, they could care less. They were just glad we were out of the house for a weekend,
there
I'm sure.
Go, yes. I'm sure they're fine.
Well, my son's been going to the convention since he's been born, so he thinks that it's something everybody does, and he's like, he's amazed at all of his friends. They used to play different games. Now they want to play the board games that take forever. Not Twilight Imperium, but what is the really long one that they like?
Oh, he likes Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, him and Shannon.
Yeah, him and Shannon, and then he likes, you know, Shadows over Camelot. Nothing like extremely long, but he'll sit and play almost any length game now.
Yeah. Well, I've played games with Augustine before, and I mean, I think it's cool that now he brings his friends to the conventions.
Right. Well, yeah, our friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is that I remember not too long ago, I guess he must have liked you capping on Shannon. You know, because we were at, I don't know what convention it was. It might have been.
Look, who doesn't cap on Shannon? If you don't cap on Shannon, then what are you doing?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So he thought you were hilarious. So one year he goes, is Ezra going to be at the convention? I go, yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. He goes, okay, I want to play Ticket to Ride with him because he's funny. I go, okay, I'm sure he'll play Ticket to Ride with you.
And I believe we did. I'm always down to play games with the Saul clan. You guys always stake out a table, and you pretty much you have like two tables in the corner, and you just stay there. I'm convinced you sleep there. Actually, I've seen Saul sleeping there.
Well, Saul falls asleep anywhere.
I've seen Saul asleep. Like, I don't know if it was a long time between turns or something, but Saul was out.
He probably stayed up all night the night before.
Yeah. Man, that is one thing I have now at cons. Like, I go to sleep, like, by 2 or 3, I'm in bed, and then I sleep until 9, and I'm just much happier for it.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah, you know, as an older gamer now, I guess.
We're officially older gamers now.
That sucks, though. But, you know, you're right. I can't stay up. And I can stay up and wait, be awake, but I can't function very well.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this year, weirdly, the schedule has worked out where I think I'm running Saturday morning and Sunday morning.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. So early nights for me.
Well, not only that, but like sometimes on Sunday morning, it's like there might be chances where one or two people might show up.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to play a board game Sunday morning, it'll be me alone in the board game room at 9 a.m.
So what are you running?
I'm running the new version of Endeavor, the Kickstarter version. Oh, it's so good. Have you played Endeavor?
I've never, but I've heard it's so really good.
The Endeavor is one of those like meaty games that somehow only lasts an hour and a half.
Oh, really?
It's so good. I'm a huge fan. We'll have to get a game in because it's so good. And the new Kickstarter version is ridiculous. Like, the bits are just silly.
Right.
That's the game that sold me on Game Trays, if I can do an unsolicited commercial on your podcast. Like, it comes with these ridiculous, you know, the Game Trays stuff. Everything is just packed away perfectly. And you pull the game out and, like, it's just ready to go. And I was like, this is a genius idea. These people should take all my money.
And they will.
And they do.
And they will. I think that you know, it's neat. I love how DundraCon has sort of, the board game scene has always been strong at DundraCon, and now you're seeing other cons are kind of catching up.
Right.
You know, Big Bad has started doing a lot more board game stuff, and I think that's really cool. And KublaCon as well, although I am entirely on an island on this one. I am the only person in the world that prefers DundraCon to KublaCon, and I totally get it. But I just don't find the open gaming space in KublaCon. It got better, but it's just hard to find anybody because it's all spread out.
It is a bigger con, and they do have that multi-level stuff.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, space over here and space over there. But it is a different con. It has a different vibe to it, definitely.
Totally different con, yeah. And like I said, I'm aware that I'm on an island on that one.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, we really like KublaCon for, you know, a different lot of reasons.
Well, God, the hotel is so much nicer.
Yeah, well, it's just more room, right?
Yeah.
And this year there's going to be more hotels for KublaCon.
Yeah,
so.
Right. We've gone so big. But yeah, there is that space problem at DungeonCon where long ago, I don't know how long ago this was, but it's basically outgrown its space. But you know, it's a lot of work to find a place to, you know, a hotel with convention space that is open to this type of convention, right?
Yeah, but I think also, and forgive me for firing with hot takes on your podcast, but I mean, I think we have to acknowledge that DunderCon is fine just being DunderCon. Like,
right.
Yes.
the people who run DunderCon have been running DunderCon for a long time, and yes, they're perfectly happy with how it is. And yes, and I don't think it's controversial to say that it hasn't necessarily scaled well.
Right. Yes.
More people want to go to DunderCon than DunderCon can possibly, you know, hold. But DunderCon right, doesn't say you know we're going to cut it off. Instead, they just keep bringing them in.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think they don't want to disappoint people. I mean, to cut it off would be kind of a publicity nightmare, I guess.
Well, I mean, you know, other cons sell out. But, you know, and they have a, like, Gen Con sold out a couple of years ago and stuff like that. Yeah. And Gen Con is just unfathomably large. No, I think that it's, you know, I mean, yeah, you can't begrudge a business, and DunderCon is a business, saying, right, like, you want to give us money, we will take your money. That's how this works. but I think that it's, you know, it's really, DunderCon DunderCon's a dinosaur, and it's a beautiful dinosaur that I love dearly, but it doesn't change.
Right. Yes. No, but
I won't say that during the live taping. I won't.
No, yeah, I agree.
That's okay. They've heard all of those things.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, but now let me say good things about DunderCon, because as a GM, like, DunderCon, so the three sort of big Bay Area cons, DunderCon, Big Bad, KublaCon. I think that Big Bad is the best experience as a GM, because you're just going to get the best role players. But I think DunderCon is the second best experience, and it's largely due to Mark Scheinert, who really listens to his GMs and really takes care of his GMs. And if you're running a game at DunderCon, Mark wants to make sure you have the best experience, and he puts you in the position to succeed. And the work that Mark does every year is amazing, and I can't say enough about it.
No, I agree. Mark's been a real asset to DungeonCon for being able to schedule that massive mess that is the schedule. I mean, could you just imagine all these people asking for certain times, and they run like almost 190 role playing games by themselves.
And Saul came along and said, "We want a room for three tables, and we're going to run this huge game with what was it, 18 people or something?"
Yeah, six. And, yeah,
and they accommodated us. That was crazy, and it was great. Yeah, no, it turned out good.
That's, I mean, and not only that, but also the hotel. Like, I think the Hyatt, it's not, is it the Hyatt? I can't remember. No, it's a Hilton. It's a Hyatt?
No, it's a Marriott.
It's a Marriott. There you go. We'll hit all the bases. But, like, you know, the once again, I don't mean to bag on KublaCon, but the hotel that KublaCon's in could care less about us. You know, but at DunderCon, we're like, you know, at Kubla, I always say at KublaCon, we're a little fish in a big pond. At DunderCon, we're the big fish in a little pond.
Yeah.
You know, and that definitely, like, the hotel totally buys into it. And that, and they support the gamers, they do all this, you know, they'll go bend over backwards. I was running a Paranoia game a few years ago, and I wanted to use the TV in the room to, like, project a PowerPoint onto, like, have the computer talking on the TV. And I swear an AV tech sat in that room for 30 minutes trying to get it to work.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I'm gonna start the game, but thank you so much, and you know, it's okay that it's not gonna work. I'm a big fan of, like, everything about DunderCon except DunderCon itself.
Yeah, I really like their staff. I mean, we're taking our son and the people at the restaurant. This one lady waitress at the restaurant would always. He goes, "Oh my God!" And she'd remember him and ask about him and stuff like that. And so every once in a while, me and Jolene would go in there by ourselves, and they're going, "Oh, where's your son?" And then he'd come by, and she goes, "Oh my God!" Because, like, he was a baby when we started going,
right?
And then all of a sudden, he's this, you know,
he is now a
teenager and now a teenager, so
giant chess champion killer.
Yes. So yeah, so it's a lot of fun going there. So what is one of your favorite memories of DungeonCon? If you were gonna pull one out of their history hat.
Oh man, DunderCon memories. Well, so there was, I think my second or third DunderCon, somebody convinced me to do that. This was back before, you know, people would sue things. So it used to be that the SCA would actually let regular people knife fight.
Yes, I remember that.
And they had these, foam knives and shields.
Yes, I remember
that. And you just wail on each other. And so they did this thing. It was almost like pro wrestling, where there were like two people on a team. And so I went with another girl from my school, and our name was Beauty and the Beast, and I was Beauty, so that was not great, but because I was not much of a fighter. But like, you'd just sit there and you'd just wail on each other, and they had like a nominal referee who'd be like, "Your leg's out," and then you had to go on one knee and all this stuff. And it was just, it was a lawsuit waiting to happen, you know, but nobody cared.
No, yeah.
Augustine loved that when he was little, watching that. It was like amazing.
Because I think now, like, it's only the SCA people that wail on each other.
Yes,
only, and that weird bullwhip guy who's always out there.
Oh, yeah. He's actually pretty entertaining, though.
The one that...
Yeah, no, that bull... I mean, the noise and stuff is really cool.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen him do the bullwhip stuff, but he's always out there.
Yeah, you know, he knows, you know, he tells you, you know, the different kinds of whips and you know, obviously tells you what makes that noise, and he has a chain whip, and I mean, I'm just like,
this is the same guy that was in the kids' room one year when the kids were little. Okay.
I forget his name. I remember one late night, you know, me and Felipe were making our rounds around 2 o'clock in the morning, and he had been drinking, so he was a little buzzed, and so we're like, and so we're in the kids. He's closed up the kids' room at 2 o'clock. And gathering his stuff, because he does like little leather bags for kids and lets them make little leather
dice
bags,
pouches
and stuff. So and he just starts talking to us, and I'm like dead tired, right? I'm like ready to conk out, and he's just talking and he's talking in that, you know, that real buzz, like, you know, real slow talk, and every once in a while I thought he'd fall asleep because he's closed his eyes. And so, like, there's three of us, like, standing there practically falling asleep with each other. You know, it was hilarious. And I finally said, dude, I'm freaking ready to pass out. I got to go. So then, but he's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy.
Right. It is cool, though, that, you know, DunderCon and Kublai Khan have those, they have those whole, like, there are whole sides of the con that I just never see, like the LARP side. Never,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
I let Shannon do that.
Or the miniatures, you know?
Yeah, the minis. I don't. I've always wanted to do one of those minis games, but
yes.
I played one years ago that was like a Star Wars, like minis combat game, and like everybody else at the table knew the rules so much better than I did that I just got I had no chance, and I was like, all right, well, and so I'm always afraid of like doing any of those games because. Somebody next to me be like, well, I'm coming from the West and it's the third turn. So that means that, you know,
I get bonus dice to kill you.
Yeah. That's right. The knife fighting thing, I'm trying to think of memories from my games. Okay. All right. So you might have to edit this part out, but I'm not going to refer to specific people, but I ran a game a few years ago, a Cthulhu game, and I'm in the room and I'm getting ready. And this guy walks in, and he says, "Are you the GM?" "Yeah." "Does this room have a fridge?" No, I don't think it does." "Huh, I need somewhere to store 48 eggs." And then he just walks out.
Was he carrying eggs?
And I thought, yeah, he had like four flats of eggs with him.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, well, that was weird. And then I didn't think about it again. And then as the game starts up, he's in my game, this guy. And he proceeds to, during the game, and of course, so this is, like, I wrote this game that was like this super fragile mystery thing where like one character knew something super important. And of course, he ends up getting that character. And totally ignores it.
Of course.
And spends the whole game spraying himself with Febreze.
That's terrible.
Just like at the table, just like he'd do a little something, and then he'd just go, psh, 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 psh.
Oh, my God.
And like, there are a few things to me worse than the smell of, like, Febreze in my, like, burning my nose.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah,
like, right like, there.
That's like, you know, like, that lady with the too much perfume. That
right, right.
Passed. And leaves a cloud of perfume.
Yeah, except he's reapplying the perfume consistently. It was very strange. And I was in my head, if I were a real good GM, I would figure out some way to address this. But I just couldn't
how, right?
ever figure out how to be like, could you stop spraying yourself with Febreze?
Because it's not a sentence you say every day.
No, there's not. Yeah, there's not a lot of useful ways to be like.
Yo, well, you could have, you know, they have bathrooms, right? Because they're actual whole motel rooms.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Instead of spraying yourself with Febreze, I would suggest you take a bath or a shower.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's, you know, that is, you know, I mean, that is the what is it, the Dundercon rule? It's 2 meals, 1 shower, and at least 4 hours of sleep.
Yes. A day.
I hope everyone adheres to those rules fervently.
I actually take 2 showers a day because I usually, you know, we get up pretty early, we're playing games, and we're sometimes we get excited and sometimes it gets warm in the rooms.
Yeah.
And so by the end of the day, you know, I just, or not, by the evening, I want to, like, you know, I just want to be fresh, you know, so I take another shower.
Yeah. I used to have a weird tradition. I haven't done it in a while. Maybe I should start this up again. I used to go for a swim before I ran my game. So I would go to the hotel pool and I'd just take a quick swim.
Wow.
God, yeah, and it does have a nice pool. Yeah. Well, I started doing this back when it was in Hagenburg, when it was at the Oakland Airport Hyatt or whatever, Hilton.
Right.
That was
Hilton, yes.
Yeah. That's a, man, that was, even then it was a terrible hotel. Even then. That was when they did a flea market and it was just outside. So you just laid stuff on the ground.
Right.
And people would walk by. It was a bizarre thing.
I didn't go to that hotel when it was DungeonCon, but I did go when KublaCon was there for like a couple years.
Oh, cool. Wow, I didn't know Kubla. I know Big Bad was there for a few years.
Yeah, and Big Bad was
there. I didn't know Kubla.
Yes. Yeah. So all 3 cons were there at one point or another.
I don't miss that hotel.
Okay, well,
on that note, sorry to ruin any of your sponsorship opportunities with Hilton.
No, I don't think any of them have Hiltons. But anyway, thanks a lot for
welcome to the longest episode of Gaming Perspectives.
No, we have you're right on target. We're 30 minutes.
Edit this down to like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that'd be tough. So. We're going to see you at DungeonCon.
That's right. I'm going to the live show is
going to be Saturday and Sunday from 9:30 to 11.
Okay. Well, if I'm not running in the morning, then I'll be there. If nobody shows up for my board game on Sunday, I'm there.
Just pass on by when you're like need snack or
That's right. Drink. That's right. And actually I'll put in a little plug here. The Twitch channel that I GM for and that I do board games with, Quests in Chaos, is going to be doing a panel, and some live recording on Sunday. I think like right after you guys are done.
Hey, I forgot to tell people that you are the Northern California star of the Twitch channel. I mean, you know, what's really annoying is, to me, is that there's not more, you know, like role playing people doing stuff like that in Northern California, because there's so many people here, there's so many games being played or gamers here. I think it's more than right for a show like yours to be on there.
And yeah, although I am not the star, let's be clear. I am the token dorky white guy. One of the beauties, I think, one of the really nice things about Quests in Chaos is they try. It is sort of their mission statement to get diverse casts playing. So I'm running Masks of Nyarlath OTEP, and the main cast is all female, which I think is great.
I saw a guy on that one I was watching. So.
Yeah, so Thomas joined us because one of the people couldn't make the first episode, but the main cast they'll be running through is all female, and I think that I'm super excited about that. But having now been on that side of it, I appreciate how much work it is on the production side. You know, there are a ton of Twitch things that are, you know, people people on Skype with each other, you know, wearing headphones and things like that. And the sound quality isn't that great and the video isn't that. But, you know, when you really want to do it well and have good cameras and good sound and that sort of thing, it's a lot of work and it takes a lot of time. And so I understand in some ways why there aren't more people doing it. And
right.
And I think to your point, people should just be okay with doing let's get some lo-fi stuff up there, because you're right. There are a ton of great storytellers and a ton of great role players around that could be doing this. And it's the perfect solution for those people who say, well, I can't find a group.
Correct. Yes, exactly.
Because, you know, like Mike Garcia runs stuff on, I think, Roll20 a lot. And yes. That could easily be Twitch or even just YouTube. Right. You know, you could just put stuff up on YouTube. It's super easy to do that. It's easy to do okay. It's harder to do well. I think that's
I totally agree. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there it is. Ezra Denny is going to be at KublaCon. I'm sure he's
going I'm running.
But he's going to DDC, but he's running Paranoia.
I'm running a Call of Cthulhu game Saturday. It's a Call of Cthulhu game based during the Revolutionary War. So there was a general who was famous. He was named Lucius. I'm gonna mess his name up. He was called the Swamp Fox, and the British were terrified of him because he did guerrilla warfare, and he would just disappear into the swamps. And they called him the Swamp Fox, and they were convinced that his men could like walk through swamps and stuff. And so I'm sure there's nothing in Cthulhu mythos about walking through swamp. And,
not at all.
and then I think I'm only just running a board game. Then I'm running Endeavor. Okay. So this is a short weekend for me. I'll be playing a lot of board games, which is nice. I need to play more.
Right. Oh yeah. 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 You don't play.
What's your current favorite board game?
We're stuck in the classics here in my household. We like,
Lords of Waterdeep.
Waterdeep is great.
Lords of Waterdeep. Yeah. We like old games, we don't like learning new games because we argue over the rules and, you know, interpreting rules.
We don't argue over the rules. Our friends argue over the rules.
So, now, this should be a podcast. Just record one of their rules arguments. And...
No.
There were things being thrown and people yelling.
Yes, dirty looks and nasty comments.
I finally said, we're not playing this game.
I'm with you. I love older games. I love, I think that in the last like 5 years, board gaming has become so much about the cult of the new.
Yes.
And it's become so much about the latest Kickstarter and all that stuff. And looking back at old, like I could play Agricola anytime, anywhere. It's just a classic. Right. Or, St. Petersburg or Notre Dame, classic older games that I'm just always ready to play. And, so many times people instead gravitate towards whatever the newest coolest thing is.
Yeah, so like a lot of our games have been played hundreds of times. Like we got like Ticket to Ride. We play Ticket to Ride all the time. We play Kingsburg,
Seven Wonders.
Does it take you 4 hours to play Seven Wonders?
Four games in 4 days.
That's right.
Because sometimes, because it was really popular at our place or our gatherings, and we'd play a game of Seven Wonders, and we're like, let's play again, and play another game.
Let's run that back. I'm always a fan of that. Yeah. Cool. Right, well, I will see you guys in 2 weeks. My goodness.
1 week. It's next week, brother.
Oh, I better start working on my game.
I'll give you another couple days to work on your game.
I have to go.
All right.
Thank
Ezra.
You so much.
Thanks.
Great.
Thanks so much
for having me. This was fun.
Yes, it is fun. Thanks a lot. We really appreciate you coming and spending a good half hour, 40 minutes of your time.
A good 5 minutes, really. There's a good 5 minutes and then 25 other minutes. That's...
Oh, stop. You know you're great. You're a great guest on our show. All right, Ezra. Thanks a lot for your helping us out.
Yeah, thanks for having me. See you in a week.
See you in a week. Stop. Have a good day. Bye.